in the short time that we have, we'll continue our series on judging our thoughts and intentions of our heart. And so you already know where we're going to turn to first and foremost, Hebrews chapter 4. And we'll read the 12th verse as our foundation text. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For the word of God is living, alive, and constantly active. And active, making it operative, in operation constantly, piercing, penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge and expose and sift, analyze, determine what is good and bad, the thoughts, the things we think about, we reflect on those that are hidden from God, from us rather, that only God can discern, and the intentions and the conceptions of that which we conceive of our heart. That's some deep, deep, deep penetration. We're talking about this because we want to be the best us for the glory of God. After all, we were created for His glory. Well, when we say you were created for His glory, I don't know about you, but if you don't break that down, that we were created for His glory, we tend to think that we just exist physical body for His glory. Your body is for His glory, but so is your spirit, and so is your soul, and so is your mind, so is your strength. That's why we're to love Him with all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, because all of it, not just our outward external self, was made for His glory, but our internal self was also made for His glory. And so God has to help us to penetrate and get into that area and dissect that and analyze and sift through that so that we may become a better self before God. We asked the question a couple of weeks ago about who are we? We talked about that there are different personalities and that God has created us with specific personalities. And there are various personality types. Then we began to talk about the reason why we want to locate our personality. We talked about the objective or the aim. And it is to show why we may impulsively go into a particular direction in our imagination, or why our hearts are burned for one thing and not another, why we are exceptionally driven in one area and not another, and to expose areas where we are blind to our own faults and even to the good things. You know, sin is so crazy, the devil is so crazy, that he will not only blind you to your faults, but he'll blind you to the good things, the gifts that God has given you. Blind us to them sometime, or turn it down, you know, we like turn it away, or when God has given you a gift and somebody even praises the Lord for your gift because it's coming from you, that you have the gift specifically, we tend to, you know, tap that down. Where if somebody else had it, it'd be a great thing. We want to get rid of all that. Amen. Let God just, for us to be the best that He's created us to be, inside and out. How many desire that? Amen. I know I do.
Amen.
Because for that reason, you created me. You weren't created for you. Quiet as it's kept, you weren't created for somebody else either. You were created for Him. And in so doing, you get blessed and others get blessed, because that's just how God works. But you were created for His glory. It really is not about you. It really is not about me. It never was about you. It never was about me. It never was about us. Never was. Secular humanism made it about us. And when they did, they tore the church up. And you got all kind of folks glorying in God's presence, the glory that he and he alone is to receive. I thank God that we don't care about hurting our human feelings when we say it's all about him. Amen. We need our feelings hurt. Amen. So many churches are trying to smooth our feelings and make sure we feel good. Bump feeling good. Amen. There are times we need to feel bad. And Sister Rolanda prayed about, thank God here, Word of Life, that we feel bad about our sin and not comfortable in it. Help us to know us. Expose us where we are blind. Give us sight in those areas. And so we talked about the term self-knowledge, understanding one's own motive or character. Self-knowledge is to be used towards spiritual growth. We want to use this information, knowing ourselves, use that information for transformation. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We want transformation. We want this information to lead to transformation. And one of the ways that information, this information, which is determining your personality type, can be used to transform, is it can help to get the gospel. That's supposed to be a head. That's a turtle, that's a nose, that's a mouth, that's a chin. That's a pretty bad head. Alright, and then that's a side view, at least. At least I can tell you that that's a hand. Okay? And so we want to work on getting the gospel in the word from here down in here. We want to drive it beneath the surface. Get it out of our heads into our hearts. We need help doing that. And I believe this tool here, getting your personality type, is going to help to drive the gospel downward. Drive the gospel downward. Getting the gospel into our quote-unquote heart, spirit, soul, so that we can nourish it. Remember Jeremiah, I found your words and I did eat them. When we talked about the two words, eating, first you ingest, that's getting into your mouth and down into your stomach. But then there's a second thing that has to happen, and that's digest, meaning from your stomach into the rest of your body, where it uses the nutrients, where your body is nourished, your spirit rather, is nourished and fed. Remember, the word of God is soul food, spirit food. That's the real soul food. A lot of us get it stuck up here. You don't get it down in here. Does this diagram make sense? Yeah. So we want to learn how to drive the gospel beneath the surface, beneath our head. Remember Jesus, God rather, told them in the Old Testament, I will write my table, my word rather, on the fleshy tables of your what? Heart. Thank you. Heart, not head. Heart. God said, I will walk in them. It's not in your head. I'm going to walk in them. I'm going to be in your spirit. I'm going to be in you, the real you. And I will be your God. And you will be my people. What a promise. I hold on to that, Miss Phyllis C., every day. He is my God. And I am his child. That's good news. I don't care what happens. Care what you do, which is incredible. It's amazing he allows me to call him Father. It's amazing he calls me Son, even though he knows every single thought that nobody else knows about. Or knows me more than anybody, all the dark places. And still got the nerve to call me Son and allow me to call him Father. Hallelujah. But that's what he promised. I will walk in. I will be in them. I will walk in them. They will be my people. I will be their God. How do we drive the gospel beneath the surface so as to nourish our inner man? How do we get it from our heads down into our heart and into our mind and into our soul. Well, look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Thank you, Father. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For this reason, I bow my knees, verse 14, before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. That he, who is he, the Father, from verse 14, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through, by, and because of his Spirit, capital S, the Holy Ghost, in our what? Inner man. So that, that's what you call, for my theologians here, the seminary term, theological term, henna clause is a purpose clause. Here's the reason for this. Whenever you see so that or for this reason, that is what you would call a henna clause. And here's the purpose. So that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. I'm sorry, verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your where? Hearts through faith, by faith, because of faith. Faith is what? Trusting in God, relying on God, leaning on God, depending on God, his power, his promises, his majesty, his glory. Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, key word there, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height and depth rather, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. As a commentator, yeah, it's too much. It's just too much. You could be lost in that part of the prayer for a year probably and still not scratch the surface. One commentator said, according to Paul, we desperately need the gospel to make its way from our heads to our hearts. Desperately need that. Into the core of our inner being. To the places that remain untouched and unaffected by the word. Did you know there are places all up in our being that are unaffected? We didn't even know that this, you know. To the places where we need to be healed and transformed. That's a good comment. That's where the word of God needs to dwell in abundance. So I'm going to read that commentary again. It says, according to Paul, we desperately need the gospel to make its way from our heads to our hearts, into the core of our inner being. Is that not true?
Amen.
To the places that remain untouched and unaffected by the word. Amen. Do you believe you have places in your being, in the room of your house, let me put it like that, the room of your life, that are unaffected by the word of God? Yeah, we do. To the places where we need to be healed and transformed. Amen. I don't know about you, Miss Darlene, but I need to be healed and transformed in some places. Amen. Don't we need that, y'all?
Amen.
I said last week or a couple weeks ago, there are some of us who are still quote unquote sick in areas that happened that where we were, and we were made sick. We got that illness, so to say, from when we were children. Something happened back then. Caused a quote unquote sore, made us sick in that area, never got healed. And it bubbles up in our personality. Sometimes it's ugly. And we don't understand. We don't know, why am I talking like this? Why am I feeling so at this time concerned? That's no big deal. Not realizing something back then. So we need this word to go into the areas that remain untouched and unaffected by the word of God, or to the places where we need to be healed and transformed. That's where we need the word of God to dwell in abundance. Yes. Amen. Word of life, does that make sense?
Amen.
Does anything else you need to repeat any of that? I see several of you are writing, so you need to repeat anything in there? You need to repeat anything? Okay. So again, we desperately need the gospel to make its way from our heads to our hearts, into the core of our inner being, to the places where that remain untouched and unaffected by the word, comma, to the places where we need to be healed and transformed. That's where we need the word to dwell in abundance. Where? Down in here. That word of life, when you had a teaching ministry that teaches all the time and so forth and so on, you're going to have a lot of stuff up here. I mean, we just wham, 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 wham. Been here 19 years. You've been here for 12 years. I've been here for 10 years. You got a lot going on. I have a lot going on. We got a lot going on. But as that word seeps down into our hearts, as our inner man is strengthened and the places are being healed because the word is seeping down in there, then it'll come out of here, man. And that light, when that, I don't care, just one concept comes down in here and the light comes on. Boy, what a glorious, oh my goodness. The entrance of God's word gives light. And I believe what the psalmist is saying with that verse, I think the Psalm, maybe Proverbs, is that when that word enters the heart, not just out, it falls out of here down into your heart, and that revelation comes on concerning that real revelation, boy, that's a glorious day. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I've been teaching this word for almost 20 years. I said, but there I'm just now getting some things, you know. It's not because you're a teaching pastor and serious about teaching and really want to do this thing right, don't mean you're going to get automatic heartfelt revelation. It's still, you still gotta, I gotta do whatever you gotta do. Meditate the word, obey the word, speak the word. I gotta do the big three just like you.
Amen.
But I tell you what, it does work. And you meditate that word, yes, and you speak that word, and you obey the word, the light does come on. Yes. And it comes on, and you know, we don't, man, these truths are so deep and thick and so dense. He only needs to just drop a little nugget. Son, this is how you can handle. Here, just a drop. Like a baby, you know, give him a drop of this, a couple of things of that, and they fool. You know, you gave him three drops of orange juice. They fool, you know. That's all we can handle. But thank God that he reveals his word unto us. We're so glad. So we need that word to dwell there in abundance. Look at Psalm 119, speaking of the word dwelling down in here in abundance and getting the results of it. Look at Psalm 119, verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Psalm 119 and verse 11. Your word I've treasured, King James says hid, which means a treasure, to store up, to deposit in my heart. And if you add to that what Colossians just said, in abundance, you can put it all together. Your word I have treasured, stored up, deposited in my heart in abundance. Why? That I may not sin against you. You see how it affects your sanctification?
Yes.
Do you see that?
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to show you by the Holy Ghost. That when the word gets down in here, It does some cleansing and healing so that you are a better person. The word getting down in your soul, in your spirit, causes you to live a more holy life.
Amen.
That's why we need the word. The word is the only thing that's going to cause healing in those areas that are cavernous, if you will, in our lives, in the caves of our lives.
Amen.
Not the personality type. That is just for identification. You want to identify, oh, I see that. Okay, now, Lord, feel that. Heal that. The personality thing is not going to heal it. The word of God is. It just, for personal diagnosis, we'll talk about it in a second. Amen.
Amen.
Look at Colossians. We just went over, but let's go over it again anyway. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Colossians 3, 15. We're talking about getting the word down into our hearts. Colossians 3, 15. Yeah, Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule, reign, dominate, be in control. Where? In your hearts. Word of life, are you seeing this? This is the beginning. This being the head is the beginning of getting it down in here. So it's got to get in here first. You follow me? But I'd like to think that too many Christians who are in ministries like this one, where there's a lot of teaching, tend to be mistaking this being in the head for heart knowledge.
Amen. Amen.
You hear that? That's, you remember, he's the most subtle beast of the field. You got all this good, true word, but you're letting him fool him, Satan, fool you into thinking that I've got it done because I got the information. No. He didn't say it. Thy word have I hid in my head that may not sin against you. It's not in the heart. Read it again. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell within you richly. He didn't say the word heart, but within you, where else is that going to be? With all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let it dwell in you richly. So, the reason, again, for this identifying our personality type is to get that information and then use that information for transformation. Sanctification. Okay? And we talked about that. How do we do this? How do we use this information for transformation? We talked about it last time. This is still review. We want to see self-knowledge as a part of sanctification. Remember that last week. See self-knowledge as a part of sanctification. We talked about that last week. See it as a part of sanctification. And we talked, we went over some verses. Lamentations 3:40, let us examine and probe our ways. Psalm 119:59, I considered my ways and turned my feet to your word. Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is a lamp of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of his being. I don't know where we stopped. Did we stop at 1 Corinthians 11? Let a man examine himself. Anybody got notes there? Proverbs 20:27. Mm-hmm. Before that was Psalm 119:59. Now we have 1 Corinthians 11:28. So anybody got, nobody got notes or? You have that one? 1 Corinthians 11:28? Okay. We did read that one. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. What about 2 Corinthians 3:15? No, head on. Okay. So let's start there in the few moments we have left. 2 Corinthians 3:15. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. See it as a part of sanctification. 2 Corinthians 3:15. Thank you, Jesus. And for those of you who are taking notes, if I start going too fast, so sometimes you got to write the verse down and then find it. So let me, if I'm going too fast, just lift the hand and I'll slow down. 2 Corinthians 13. Did I say 13?
13.
Well, you're supposed to be flowing in the spirit now. You're supposed to know what I'm about. First, 2 Corinthians 13:5.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah, we don't need that. Don't need all of the peanut gallery. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Sorry. All right. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Wow. Examine yourself. Or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? He's taking some thorough examination. Am I right, Ms. Cheryl? He said, don't just take, you know, your word for granted. Not even yourself. Don't ever rest on your laurels by saying, oh, I'm good. That's a scary day for you.
Amen.
Whoever says that, scary day. Because we talked about that on Sunday, about you setting goals. Because there are ways, man thinks his ways are good. I forgot the word that I went. Pure in his own eyes. Thank you. Scary. And the Holy Ghost, through the Apostle Paul in his second letter to the church at Corinth. Test yourselves, examine yourselves, or do you recognize this about yourself? Can we not recognize ourselves? Those are those blind spots we're talking about, Word of Life. Can you see that? That's why you get into those personality things and expose those blind spots. Shine light on that. Because sin has caused us to see ourselves in a distorted fashion. Does that make sense? We don't see ourselves clearly. I mean, Jesus spoke about it. He said, you got this big telephone pole in your eye, and you're going to try to remove a speck of sawdust out of your brother's eye. That's what sin has done. We're blind to ourselves. Father God, show us the blind spots in our lives. In Jesus' name. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 4. Galatians chapter 6, verse 4. But each one, if you feel like it and you are right with it, examine your own work. Yeah. Must. My verse I have, each one must examine his own work. And then he will have reason for boasting. You must examine your own work. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. I love this translation on this one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. The translation I have, New American. But examine everything carefully. I love that. That's comprehensive. Yeah, I think King James says what? What does King James say?
Prove all things.
Prove all things, yeah. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. See, and again, in the King James, by that being more of an older translation, the better translation of the word prove is to examine everything carefully. Prove all things. Prove means to examine and test all things, everything. And it means to do it carefully. Then hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. That's what we're to do. Self-examination is what we must do. Self-examination, as we said last week or whatever, must include a heartfelt cry for God to lead and orchestrate this examination. It's a heartfelt cry to God to lead. We don't rely on ourselves. We need God the Father in this endeavor, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We call upon you, help us to examine ourselves, because we can't do it alone. Look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 23. Psalm 139, verse 23. Glory be to God in the highest. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 139, verse 23. As I look at my mother turn pages, I'm thinking she's been doing that for 59 years, turning the pages of the Word of God. My Lord and my God, what a blessing. Psalm 139. Did I say 139? Okay, finally got that one right. Verse 23. Listen, y'all. Here's the heartfelt cry to God. Search me, O God. Hallelujah. And know my heart. Try me, O God. And know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me. Look at it. And lead me in the everlasting way. We need God to help us examine ourselves.
Amen.
Search me, O God. Hallelujah. Try me and test me. You know every anxious thought. You know my heart. I need you to search me.